What's up, superstar? I'm Coy Wire. Welcome to CNN 10, where I tell you the what, letting you decide what to think. It's Thursday, January 25th. Happy Friday Eve. We start the show today in Yemen, where the U.S. and U.K. carried out another round of attacks against infrastructure held by the rebel group known as the Houthis. This strike marks the eighth round of attacks by the U.S. military on Houthi targets in just over 10 days. Here's our Oren Lieberman to explain who the Houthis are and why the U.S. is striking the region.
The U.S. has carried out a series of strikes in Yemen, in the Middle East, over the past couple of weeks. In at least two of those cases, they have been joined by the U.K. in carrying out this operation. Now, the region for this goes straight to the waterways of the Middle East and how critical they are. Specifically, the Red Sea, which is just west of Yemen, and the Gulf of Aden, just south of Yemen. These are some of the most critical waterways in the world, because if you can't go through here in the Red Sea, then you have to go thousands of miles all the way around Africa, and that's why they're so important for international shipping companies. Now, the problem here is that the Houthis, an Iran-backed rebel group in Yemen, have been launching attacks on commercial vessels in the Red Sea and in the Gulf of Aden, using one-way attack drones and different kinds of missiles. This has caused many of the world's largest shipping companies to avoid the Red Sea and the Gulf of Aden entirely. That adds thousands of miles to the route they have to go all the way around Africa. It also increases the cost of shipping, which has a profound effect and is expected to have a profound effect on the global economy. The question, what to do here? The U.S. and other countries tried to send a warning. There was a U.N. Security Council resolution against these continued Houthi attacks on shipping in the Red Sea and in the Middle East. But when these failed to stop the Houthis, the U.S. and the U.K. began carrying out a series of airstrikes on Houthi targets, going after their facilities where they store the kinds of weapons they've used to attack international shipping lanes, such as ballistic missiles, cruise missiles, and one-way attack drones. The hard part here is that the U.S. is trying not to escalate the region. The Middle East has already seen a tremendous amount of tension, not only with the Gaza war, but also in Iraq and Syria. Still, after continued attacks on international shipping lanes in these critical waterways, the U.S. has felt compelled to act. Coy, back to you.
Pop quiz, hot shot, what year was the doomsday clock invented? 1947, 1951, 1963, or 1968? ...1947 is your answer here. That's when the Bulletin of Atomic Scientists created the clock, largely in reaction to the threat of nuclear weapons and the prospect of a nuclear arms race between the U.S. and the Soviet Union. So what is the Doomsday Clock? Once a year, scientists reflect on the state of the world and determine how close humanity is to, well, ending it. Our Nicholas Blatt is here to explain the story behind this unique clock and tell us what some scientists are thinking as they reflect on our current year.
This is no ordinary clock. It doesn't tell time. Instead, it counts down to the apocalypse. This is the Doomsday Clock. And if we're to ever strike midnight, well, let's just say we probably won't be here to see it. On January 23rd, experts updated just how close they think we are to catastrophe. The Doomsday Clock was conceived by a group of scientists who worked on the atom bomb, known as the Bulletin of the Atomic Scientists. In 1947, the symbolic clock was first set at 7 minutes to midnight by designer Martel Langsdorff, representing their fears of atomic annihilation.
The seeds of man's oblivion.
But fears eased by 1963 with the signing of the Partial Nuclear Test Ban Treaty, and the Bulletin reset the clock to 12 minutes to midnight. Since then, the clock has been set further and closer to midnight, according to the severity of an increasingly diverse range of existential threats, determined by scientists and Nobel laureates, reaching its furthest in 1991 at a comforting 17 minutes from disaster. In 2022, the clock was kept to just 100 seconds to midnight due to issues like nuclear armament, climate change, and threats to democracy. In 2023, scientists stated we were closer than ever to global catastrophe at just 90 seconds to midnight. And now in 2024, experts say we are still at an alarming 90 seconds to midnight, due in part to conflicts around the globe, AI advancement, and slow movement on climate change. The Doomsday Clock is a symbol, an indicator of the perils humans create, and a plea to find solutions for a better future.
One world.
turning to the animal kingdom. I don't know about you, but I was today years old when I learned that animals can see colors that we humans can't. Thanks to new technology, we're now able to get a glimpse of what the world looks like for bees, birds, butterflies, and more. Our Shannon Hodge reports on a brand new camera that can help us see the world through the eyes of animals.
This is a caterpillar through the eyes of a honeybee. And this is how a mockingbird sees the sky. A new technology allows humans to see the world the way animals do.
Many color signals that we find in nature are not evolved to be viewed by humans. We're just not seeing the full picture. This is the first time that we're able to establish a highly accurate measurement of animal perceived colors in motion.
A standard camera captures three distinct color channels, red, green, and blue. But researchers led by Vera Vassis at the UK's University of Sussex and Professor Daniel Hanley's team at George Mason University created a camera system that adds an extra dimension. It records four different color channels, including the ultraviolet. And they just published a study detailing what the new technology can do.
So my favorite video is the video of the rainbow as seen through the eyes of a mouse, a honeybee, bird, and human. So if you look at the bottom, there's a magenta stripe on the bird vision. This is the ultraviolet band of the rainbow that's invisible to our eye. This actually goes to show us that there's more dimensions to the rainbow than we typically appreciate.
Hanley says birds and insects use color to find food, attract a mate, or avoid predators. So the new technology can help humans to better understand how animals communicate and how to protect them.
More than 600 million birds die every year from striking window surfaces. And there are stickers that you can place on the outer surface of glass that absorb ultraviolet light. But because you can't see it, it's hard to assess how effective they might be. With the help of this new technology, we can now see what the bird would see as it approaches a glass surface and come up with better solutions. This study is a metaphor for seeing things from a different perspective.
From what animals see to how we see animals. Today's story, getting a 10 out of 10, is about a 600-pound bull from Newark, New Jersey named Ricardo, who made a miraculous escape from a slaughterhouse last month. His unbelievable feat steered a high school art class to catalog his story. Tony Yates from affiliate WABC takes us to the exhibit.
There's a bull running down the tracks.
When Ricardo made his famous escape from a slaughterhouse in Newark back in December, Columbia High School's art teacher was inspired.
Well, what happened was it started where I had a vision. I wanted to have something with the Spanish department.
He commissioned some of his best students to combine what they're learning about Spain and his bullfighting tradition with Ricardo's escape, where the rule is if he gets away, he gets to live.
So to focus on the bull and understanding as far as the whole aspect of bull, the bullfighting, the empathy was happening with the bull.
After a month of work, this is the collection from Grayson's artist.
I wanted to incorporate how, like, the cape is the only colored part of the drawing, and you see how the bull is just blindly running into it, almost as if the cape commands it what to do.
I wanted to capture, like, the animosity in the bulls when they're running, but also how they are just innocent in the sense that they're put into the situation, like they're not choosing to run.
I personally think that tradition is something that we should respect, but also can be altered over time, facing the challenges we face today.
The experience turned out to be quite thought-provoking for this group.
That's why we have our hashtag, Empathy for the Bull, so to hopefully spur more conversation about it, you know, more awareness.
The exhibit's premiere held this evening at the school, adding more voices to that conversation.
That art was ebullient. They really grabbed that opportunity by the horns. Moving on now, it's shout-out time. This shout-out goes to CY Middle School in Casper, Wyoming. Go Cyclones! We see why you're so special. Rise up today. Have a wonderful Thursday, everyone. We're going to see you right back here tomorrow, Friday. I'm Coy Wire, and we are CNN 10.